I want you to take your Bibles tonight, turn to the book of James, James chapter 1, and then I want you to turn there to Acts chapter number 26, two places. I want to read a little bit. All right, in James chapter 1, I want to read verse 26. Bible says, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridle not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Seems to me like God is saying that. Why is men always accusing the women of their tongue? But seems like the man's got the bigger problem. Amen? Amen. Bible says, verse 27, pure religion undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Amen. Now take your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 26. Let me read a little bit there and beginning of that chapter. The Bible says there in verse 1, of course, the Apostle Paul is standing before King Agrippa, and he is giving a testimony there, answering for himself. The Bible says, then Agrippa said unto Paul, thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all the things whereof I am accused of the Jews. Especially because I know thee to be expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews, whereof I beseech thee to hear me patiently. My manner of life from my youth, which was at the first among my own nation at Jerusalem, know all the Jews which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify that after the most straitest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers. I'm glad he put that in there. Amen? Amen. Otherwise, his religion would have just been in vain. Everything he said would have been useless. But I thank God that he said that. He met the Lord Jesus one day. One thing Paul never got tired of us telling people about his testimony, how he got saved on the Damascus Road. Amen. I'm glad that, you know, we can have a testimony when we get saved. It's not what we've done, but what He's done for us. Amen. Thank God for that. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer for a minute. Father, we just thank You tonight. Lord, thank You for already what You've done. Lord, what You said, God, and You stirred my heart. Lord God, again, Father, we thank You now as we turn our hearts again to the Word of God. I pray that You might have liberty in our midst, God. We pray for just the touch of God, Lord, on our life. Help us preach, Lord God. We're unworthy, Lord. We're incapable. But God, even at a time like this, Lord, we come to the pulpit trembling, realizing, God, that we're so inefficient. But Lord, we just lay our trust and our faith in You. I pray that You do that work that needs to be done, Lord God. And I thank You now. We ask these things in Jesus' name for His sake. Amen. Amen. Now, one thing that I notice here as I was reading these portions of Scripture, there's another place in Galatians where it talks about religion. And you know, writer James said that. He said, he's talking about pure religion. And I think that's something that's kind of real thin these days. We don't hear too much of the pure religion that needs to be exercised among Bible-believing Christians. But you know, Paul talked about how he was a member of a straitest sect. His religion was one that was in vain. And that's a rotten religion. That rotten religion, you know, is a religion that has no ruin. It has nothing, it don't know no ruin. They just think that you've always been good. You're getting better and better. And you know, as you go down your life's road, you're just getting better and better. You don't have no knowledge of any ruin. Not only that, but rotten religion knows nothing but repentance. They think that, you know, I've always been right with God. I've always done what I'm supposed to do. You know, that's a sad thing. See, Paul, he was anti-Christian. He was anti-Christ. He was a very, very religious man. But you know what? The Bible tells us, you know, that when he came to the point in his life and that, you know, he just had killed Christians, done all he could do to try to mess up God's plan, which he could never do. You know, the Bible says that, you know, he came to a place in his life that he met the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, and I think about that as a kind of a testimony of what every person here probably that was older in life came to. And one day you found out that you was following some kind of rotten religion. If it had nothing to do with the Lord Jesus Christ dying on the cross of Calvary, who was buried and he rose again the third day, that religion is rotten. Amen. It ain't no good. Rotten to the core. Amen. I don't care if it's Indian religion. I don't care if it's white man's religion. I don't care if it's a black man's religion. Now, I tell you, the religion that does nothing good for man is a rotten religion. And you know, it knows no repentance. It knows no ruin. And not only that, but it produces no faith. This Bible I got here tonight says, you know, so faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Amen. I thank God. I thank God for every man of God that stood up a while ago and said, you know, God called me to preach. Sir, may I tell you tonight, folks, that the one way that you can tell people the truth is to tell them that it takes faith. It's going to take old-fashioned faith. It's going to take faith to get you from here to glory. You need to tell people that, you know, without faith, there, the Bible says it's impossible to please God. You'll not please God. You'll not please God. You'll not make God happy without faith. Bible says faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. No, it produces no faith. Rotten religion produces no prayers answered. Amen? I mean, I tell you, you can pray all night. I'll tell you what, some of our Indian folks are like that. That old medicine man, he'll sit up all night. His legs will be crossed like this all night long, just lean against that log house. And he'll chant and he'll do everything in the world to try to get a hold of his God. I'm telling you, he don't get no closer than that. The first word came out of his mouth. He don't even get any closer than what he already spoke. But you know what? He's zealous. He'll stay up. I mean, he'll get him a spit can and he'll just spit in that thing and his throat will wear raw. I mean, he'll sit there. I don't tell that his legs cramping up. He'll stay there. He'll not get up. But you know what? We go to church today and the first time the air conditioning ain't right, we up and leave. And the first time things ain't the way it ought to be, we just come and say, we shut her down. We're going to the house. I want to tell you, that medicine man, his religion's rotten. His religion is vain. But you know what? He's more dedicated to what he's doing than most Bible-believing Christians. Oh, shame on us. Hey, we got a great God tonight. We got something to shout about. We got something to praise God about. And then we sit here, hey, like a bunch of wooden Indians. Amen. It's high time, man. We said, hey, we got a true and the living God. Amen. I'll tell you, there's nothing greater. We ought to shout her out tonight and say, thank God we got a Savior that went to die on the cross, was buried. He rose again the third day. Thank God he's the man that answers prayer. Thank God I don't have to go to the priest. Thank God I have to go to some medicine man. Thank God I got a direct line to heaven tonight. But that religion, see, no prayers answered. I mean, there's no proclaiming of the shed blood. No blood was shed for these religions that they're running on. But I want to tell you, not only that, but it produces no purity. Amen. I'll tell you, a lot of people just living like the world, you know, the world. The problem we got today is the world's got churchy and the church got worldly. You can't tell the difference no more. And the reason why is there's no blood preaching no more, no cross preaching. Looks like the man preached on that kind of preaching needs to be preached over and over. Amen. I kind of prayed today that he preached that on the cross. Man, I'll tell you, it did us some good, amen. I'm talking about Indians live out in the middle of nowhere. Some don't got no television. Some ain't got no modern convenience, but it sure done us good. I don't care where you live. You might have modern convenience. You might live in a real good place, but I tell you, where you live there, some area out in the reservation, in the middle of nowhere, you're still as depraved, as rotten, as the core, as the day you got to get into this world. And you still need salvation. You still need to be saved. I want to say to you tonight, folks, that true religion, pure religion here, is what I want to preach about for a little bit. Amen? Pure religion. You see, you know, pure religion insists on several things. Number one, it insists on repentance. Amen? It insists on repenting, turning around, changing your mind. Not only when you got saved, but all the time. Every time you hear a message that from the Word of God this week, preacher preaching to you, man, you ought to be over here on the altars. I tell my folks, you won't interfere with the preacher. I mean, you won't mess him up. That man got a message that God lay on his heart. You're not going to disturb him. You just come make a trip to the altar. The moment God gets a hold of your heart, get it right. Amen? Some of us think we got to have some music. Some of us think this thing's just got to be right before we do that. Hey, God touch your heart about something. You need to get it right. Get it right there. A lot of us, we think, you know what? We'll wait. That's a problem. If it's a problem, that's a problem that rotten religion produces, you know? There's a lot of people that just wait on God. Jesus said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. He thought it was important. He thought it had to be immediate. He didn't think that you should just, you know, kind of dilly dally around with it. He thought it was very important.
Amen.
He said, "Accept me." He said it twice.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, folks, that repentance, you know, that pure religion insists on repentance.
Amen.
He says, "Accept you repent." Not only that, but he insists on regeneration. I like what Jesus said to Nicodemus. He said, "Ye must be born again."
Yeah.
Amen. He said, ye. He said, hey, not your buddy, not your friend, ye. He said, you. It's individual.
Yeah.
Amen. You never had an individual experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. You've not been saved. You're still going to hell.
Yeah.
That's why he said, you must be born again.
Amen.
He said, you must. That's what he was talking about when he said regeneration. You know, he's talking about not only taking your life and changing it over, but the Lord Jesus Christ moving in. Amen. Make a complete change in your life. That new birth is individual. And then he said, you must. That means immediately.
Amen.
It's an immediate birth.
Amen.
Some people say, well, I'll just, go down the road and do good, and eventually I'll do better than where I was, and eventually I'll come out good on the other end. That don't work that way.
Right.
Amen. I want to tell you tonight, folks, the Bible insists on you being born again. It's immediate. Number three, I want to say it's indispensable. You can't go leave this world without it, or you're going to wind up in hell. The Bible tells us we must be born again. Amen. It's not by parents, not by priests. Amen. It's not even by your premonition. It's not even by what you think it ought to be. Amen. People talk about perception. You might have good perception, but that won't help you go to heaven. It'll wind you up in hell.
Yeah.
Not only that, but I want to say that, you know, pure religion also speaks of restitution. Making right the wrongs. Straightening out the best way you know how the things that you've done were wrong.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, I'll tell you, we've forgotten about that. Oh, I got saved. I got right with God. Then you continue to hang on to all the wrong stuff.
Yeah.
So continue to do things that you're not to. Amen. When I got saved, I was working the power plant. Man, I'll tell you, if you ever worked the power plant, you know every scheme there is. I mean, listen, they got some nice tools over there. And them big power companies, they done paid for it. So you go there and work. The first thing you do is you buy you a big overalls. Where you can stick things inside, tape things to your leg, and you just walk out with all kinds of stuff. I mean, pipe wrenches, you name it, man. I mean, one day, we got together. We said, we'll take a torch hose, you know. And one guy wrapped his leg up and down the other leg. He walked out with one, and I chickened out, and I said, I'm not going to take the oxygen leg. He can just take the acetylene hose. And he walked out, and he said, where's the other hose? I said, it's still back there. Amen. But you've done some foolish things, and I took a bunch of stuff. I took little cables, little wrenches, and I made false bottoms on my lunchbox. And you kids, don't think this is funny, amen. This is serious business. I mean, I'll tell you, I've got all that stuff. I don't know why in the world I stole all that stuff. It sat in my garage all that time, and yet when I got saved, amen, the first thing God did was convicted me. They said, all that stuff in there, son, that don't belong to you. And I told my wife, honey, you know what? I said, all that stuff in there that I got, I said, I got to get rid of it. She said, how are you going to do it? And I said, I'll tell you why. I said, my friend and I, we stole a wheelbarrow. And I said, what I'll do is I'll borrow it this week and I'll take it back. So I took that wheelbarrow and I loaded all that stuff up and we drove up to San Juan Power Plant. San Juan Generating Station. I pulled up at the front and here's the guard. And I drove up there and I said, I want to take this back in there. He said, what's wrong with you? He said, is your brain, you're not working? What's wrong with you? And I said, I stole all this stuff and I wanted to return it. He said, you want to go to jail? And I said, well, do what you have to. I said, my God said, get rid of this stuff. This is stuff you stole, didn't belong to you. I want to tell you folks right there, that boy almost fell over. He said, the company done paid for it. The company done did it. I wrote it off on Texas. Just be quiet and take it home. I said, you don't understand. Something more greater, something more higher than God, than the company, than the government has come down and dealt with me about this stuff. He said, I can't afford to go home with it. Here, have it all. Take the wheelbarrow. I mean, take it somewhere. I don't want it no more. I want my conscience clean. I want to be able to call on God. Let him hear my prayer. I want to be able to talk to God. God, come down, meet with me. Hey, I don't want no hindrance in my life. I'm telling you tonight, folks, hey, it has to be restitution. We just go down the road. with candy in our mouth and think everything's all right. Yeah, amen. It won't work. I believe you got to get things right. Restitution, making things right. There might not be things you took. Amen. You might have stole a look. Amen. It won't get quiet here pretty soon. Might be some things that you've been dabbling around in right now. Amen. You know, pure religion says get rid of it. Pure religion says get this stuff out of your life. Amen. Then how about this? Retribution. Amen. I mean, refusal to get right. I mean, just say, well, I'm just going to sit on it. I'm not going to do nothing. Well, you better enjoy it because you're on your way to hell. You're laying a fire. You just say, you're going to have to end. You're not going to have to meet these sinful things in your life at the end of your sinful life. At a place called hell. God ain't going to excuse you. God ain't going to let you go. The best of them, the best of the people in the world have gone and did something and they wind up tonight serving for it, or tonight suffering for it, I should say. But you know what? Pure religion says, you know what? Remember, there's always an accounting at the end. There's going to be a time when you have to stand before God. You know, I want to say pure religion will not only insist, but it also involves some things. Amen. Thank God. I appreciate the Word of God. I appreciate the Bible. Amen. Listen, pure religion involves the old King James Bible without error. Amen. It's infallible. It's inerrant. I'm telling you, this book, it's taught me more than any man's ever taught me. And I'll tell you, the days when I didn't understand nothing, when I got saved, folks, I come in this thing green, man. I mean, listen, I got in the place where I didn't understand a lot of things. But I'll tell you what, when I went and got involved in this Christianity, all of a sudden it demanded some things off of me. And all I got to do was go to the Word of God and find out what it was. And I'll tell you, peace would flood my soul. I didn't care what anybody else thought. I knew I was right with God because these books said it and I did it, and that's all that mattered. Amen. I'd go down the road, people say, Brother Calvin, you don't have no money. You don't have much. Why are you so happy about it? I said, I got something on the inside. I'll tell you, that God put there. I said, the devil can't take it out. I said, every once in a while the devil show up, but I said, God would say, go look it up, and I'd look it up, and boy, I tell you, I spent some time alone with God, and I began to see some things in my life, the peace and the purity that comes from the Word of God. Hey, that Bible is so perfect, folks. Many people, they just bypass it. They think they're going to live on preacher's diet. Hey, I thank God that this church has a great preacher. I thank God for these great men of God. But don't you live on their preaching. Amen. You get involved in that book. You open it up. You get your nose down in that book. Just get some things settled. There'll be some things this preacher won't answer for you. There'll be some things that he's not going to be able to come to right to straight to the point with. You're going to have to get it from God. And if you don't ask God, you're not going to get it. That book is good. Amen. Not only that, but you know what? A pure religion will include not only a book without error, but it will include a blood atonement. Plus nothing. Peter said, First Peter chapter 1, verse 18 said that he said, you have not been redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold. But he said, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Amen. This book teaches redemption. Amen. I like that. I like the fact that we've been redeemed. Amen. To know that one day, listen, no matter what this world goes into, the trouble America goes through, I know it's always going to end up right for me. Amen. Amen. It's going to be good on the other side. Listen, one day I settled in. That's why I believe it. I thank God for a church that believes and preaches on the blood. Amen. That blood was shed in Eden for a man that went astray. And then that blood was shed when Abraham went and took his son Isaac up on Mount Moriah. And there he thought he was going to lay his son before God. And God substituted a ram. God shed the blood of an animal. Hey, it was the blood then. It was the blood during the escape from Egypt, it's still the blood today. Amen. You go to heaven today, it's going to have to be by the blood of the Lord Jesus. Hey, pure religion involves blood. Not only that, it involves Bible preaching. Amen. I like Bible preaching. Pure and defiled. Bible says pure religion undefiled. You see, it involves biblical preaching, Bible preaching. Amen. You know why preaching is so important? Heaven ordained it. Amen. Listen, every one of you tonight that is here that's a preacher, you ought to count it all joy. You ought to count it a blessing that God would tell you to occupy the greatest position in the world. Amen. Be able to stand up and preach. Amen. Be able to stand up and proclaim the truth of God's Word. What an honor it is. Amen. Tonight. Hey, I wouldn't even want the President of the United States job. I wouldn't even want the Navajo Nation Chief's job. I got a job better than him. Amen. That's proclaiming the gospel of the Lord Jesus all over this country. Amen. I just want to shout, Jesus saved! Jesus saved! Jesus saved! That's what I want to tell the world. Amen. That's the message we got tonight. Heaven ordained it. Not only that, but you know, the world requires it. We live in a world that's getting worse and worse and worse every day. The only thing that's going to save this country, the only thing that's going to take this country out of the way it's going, is old-fashioned Bible preaching. Amen. Amen. One year we had an Irishman come to our camp meeting. I liked him. He came up to you and he said, listen here, you rascal, you don't get saved, you're going to hell. Oh, I tell you, he went in our face like that. I said, that's good preaching. Amen. And you know, Indian's quiet anyway. He just shriveled up, you know. We need some of that today. We need some people just to come right in our face and tell us how bad we are. How no good we are. The world, you see, requires it. You know why we need old-fashioned preaching? You know why pure religion involves old-fashioned preaching? Because the devil hates it. Amen. I like what my pastor said. He said, you know, I don't want to be involved in anything the devil ain't mad at. Amen. We like it so much, we made a banner and put it in our church. Everybody come in there and say, I like that. And say, amen. I believe we'll get the message across when we tell people, just find something the devil hates and go do it. Amen. That's what we got to do. Amen. You don't know what to do, just go find something the devil don't like and go get involved and start liking it. Start living it. Start doing it. I tell you, you'll probably be doing a whole lot better than a lot of people. I want to tell you, listen, we're trying to adopt that little boy, Cody. He's a blessing. He was up there in Shiprock for about a year, and they got him all over there mixed up with that heathen stuff. And man, he was talking about this, he's talking about that, and he'd make my wife miserable. Because before he went back up there, we taught him gospel songs. We taught him things. And he'd get up there and he'd give a testimony. All the kids loved him. But you know, he came back in about 2 weeks, man, he got converted again. I'll tell you what, he'd get up right on the back of that pew and he'd stand up and they'd sing Victory in Jesus. That's the only part he learned. He said, instead of saying, you know, the song would go something like, you know, he loved me and he purchased me and so forth. He would just say, he punched me, he'd say that. And then he'd say, amen, he'd say that. And everybody would just stop and just look at him. And I told the people, I said, he got more religion than some of you, amen. I said, that's a good kind of religion. I said, I wonder how many of you go around and rub on him. Maybe some of that stuff will rub off on you. Amen. I told him, I said, listen, we need people today that will just get around something that the devil hates. You know, that little boy ain't got a clue in the world. He's not saved. I'll tell you what, he's doing a lot more shouting, a lot more praising than a lot of Christians that are saved.
Thank you, Lord.
Tell you what, Brother McGay, Mark McGay got a kick out of him. He thought, yeah, that boy there, he said, he got an old time religion. You know what? Society will laugh at it. But you preach it anyway.
Amen.
Let's stand, amen, flat-footed, bless God, just preach it.
Amen.
Amen. I'll tell you, preach it until your face turns red.
Amen.
Amen. Not only that, but I'll tell you what, sinners need it.
Right.
We need to preach it because sinners need it all over the country. Your neighbor, people down the road, buy gas from.
Yeah.
People that you go and shop with, people that you go and buy stuff from, they need it.
Need it.
Amen. We was up there in Arkansas when we were coming down at Brother Chandler's, and we stopped off at a place there. And I got so mad at myself I didn't even have a track left, and I got to run around. And I got this brand new truck, and I didn't even put tracks in it. And I was asking these guys, who's got a track? Who's got a track? And they all look at me like a calf. Look at a new gate, huh? I said, what you think? You was vacation from God? What's wrong with you all? Amen. I almost got the preacher there in the parking lot. Maybe I should have, but you know what? Give an invitation right after that, you know. But maybe I was hauling a bunch of sinners. I don't know. But you know, sinners need it everywhere.
Amen.
We ought never take for granted that people are all right.
Yeah.
One of the hardest things you ever do is win your family. If you ever do win your family, it'll be by the grace of God.
Amen.
Amen. My daddy hated the gospel. He hated anything to do with church. He hated everything. As a matter of fact, he hated my grandmother, his mother-in-law, because she took us to church. And he would not even darken her door. He wouldn't even talk to her. And he always told us, he said, I'm just practicing the Navajo custom. Navajo custom says when a son-in-law gets married, never to look in the face of the mother-in-law. I said, that's hogwash. You don't like her because she tells about the Bible. Amen. And he got mad. Let me tell you, when my dad got mad, he threw stuff around. You better not stand too close. You're liable to fly. But I'll tell you what, thank God, you know, one day, right around springtime, people was plowing their fields, and there he was. He's taking me to town, wanted some hay for his horses and cattle, and all of a sudden he got distracted. He looked around there across the field there, and he saw an old man on a tractor. He pulled out, went over there, and he picked up some soil. He said, we used to do this. He said, notice how that soil really smells good, that rich, and he smelled it, and then tears started coming out of his eyes. And I thought, my dad never cried. My dad, he never even weep for nothing. And there he was. And I said, what's wrong, Dad? And he said, you know what? He said, when we did this, I remember Mama used to have a brush arbor at the end of the field. And she'd always say, supper time. And we'd always come. And he said, I sure miss her. Oh, I sure miss her. I started seeing him shake. His lips was quivering. And I said, Dad, I put my arm around him and said, Dad, yeah, I've been praying for him for 15 years. And I got my arm around him and I said, Dad, I said, I will miss Mama too. I sure do miss her now. But I said, you know what, Dad, I'm going to see her again. And he looked at me and said, how's that? And I said, I got saved. Remember, Mom got saved. Remember, God, you know, God's living inside of Mom when she left. Remember what she told you? And he said, that's right. And he said, I wonder if I can get saved. And I said, yeah, you can. He said, when? I said, how about right now? I mean, he got right there on that test. I said, he got saved right there. Amen. He got born again. I'm telling you, any sinner you know, they need it. You know what? I want to say this. You know, all pure religion is something that we ought to insist on, that we ought to be involved in Bible preaching, because you know what? This ought to be the very thing that saints should love. Yeah. Amen. I like it when the Glorylane sinners come up here. I mean, I get goosebumps all over me. Amen. I try to keep it down. Then they go, boop. Boop. They get the stern, Holy Spirit, get the stern round in here. And after a while, you think, boy, this is good now. But then the man of God comes up here and he opens up that Bible. I'm telling you, man, by that time, man, all them goosebumps just some blowed up, amen. It's, you might as well quit just, and that's why most of us, we do, we just raise our hand or just kind of shake the hanky because we done lost the battle right there, amen. Goosebumps all over us, we can't fight it, we might as well just shout it out, amen. Amen, preacher, that's right, preacher, amen. We just get beside ourselves, amen. You say, I'm not going to do it, people think I'm crazy. You're crazy anyway, let's go ahead and do it, amen. Your friends think you done lost it anyway. If you're a member of this church or any other Bible-believing church, they already know you done lost it. Amen? So you might as well just shout around. Pure religion. In pure religion will involve these things. Then I want to say, pure religion will interfere with some things. It'll interfere with your pleasure. Amen. Amen. All pleasure, no work makes a Christian sorry. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Listen, I was preaching up at Arkansas, and I didn't know the preacher played golf. And you preachers play golf in here, I'm about to hit your nail. Amen. I told him, I said, you know, I got some men surrender to preach in my church. Good men. I got two of them with us, three I think. Tomorrow night, got another preacher coming. They can't stay away. Amen, Brother Charlie. Got another load coming tomorrow night. Said, we're going to catch the later end of this thing, man. He said, we're trying to press on. Got people working on the railroad. They said, hey, he finally got enough nerve to say, hey, boss, I'm going to leave. I got to go to a camp meeting. And the guy said, where's the camp? I thought Jesus had camp meeting your church. He said, no, there's a bigger one down in Alabama. They thought he done that. He said, oh, man, you're nuts. Go on. Go ahead and take your leave. Amen. Hey, let him have his leave. He's bringing about another truckload tomorrow. You talk about fanatic. Amen. You talk about man. I'm going to tell you, he's a blessing. And I'll tell you, I got some of these men got excited about God. Amen. Amen. I'll tell you, we got men that we had our camp meeting this year, probably the best we've had in 10 years. And then I carried over to youth camp. The youth teams came up here, started singing. And man, it got on, and they all left the podium. They was running out there. Nobody singing up here. Everybody's just shouting, going nuts, amen. And Brother McGay, he's over here, and he's just crying. You know, he just shed his tears. He said, I'm going home back to Alabama, and I'm going to tell those preachers that you all been lying to me. You told me Indians don't know how to have a meeting. Hey, I'm going to tell you a bunch of liars, amen. And I'll tell you what, he got beside himself. You know what? God showed up. And up there in Arkansas, Sunday, God showed up. And one of the things I was saying that was about that, I said, and every time it seems like God moves in our church. God does something in our church. You know, we got a preacher that lives north of us, and I'm not going to name him. Most of them know who he is anyway. But you know what? He'll come by my church and he'll say, want to play golf? What? You want to play golf? Oh, you work for a railroad, huh? You pay, we'll play golf. And he'll do that all week at our meeting. And then I find my men, where are they at? And they said, they're all playing golf. I said, what the world are they doing? So he told me one day, he said, Brother Calvin, let's play golf. And I said, no. I said, when I quit sports, then I'll take up golfing. Yeah. Right now, I'm still healthy. I'm still pretty active. I'm not going to take up no old man's game. Amen. I'm doing pretty good. Amen. Then I tell him, sir, furthermore, I said, I don't want you taking my men and go taking them to some kind of game like that. And, you know, and I said, some sissy game like that's what I said. And when I said that, Brother Chandler got up. He said, I sure appreciate Brother Calvin. He's got a lot of good things about him. But he said, I don't know why he's messed up on golf. Well, I'm going to tell you what. There's time to play. There's time we can do something. But there's time when we need to get serious about God. Get in the house of God. When I come here, I don't go do nothing. I don't go sightseeing. Matter of fact, I rebuked some girls today. They said, we went down to Galleria. I said, God ain't there. I mean, you guys were scrounging up gas money coming. All of a sudden, you got a check. Or you got some kind of money that was wired to you and you want to go to Galleria. I tell these girls, I said, which one you got money? Let's pitch in for some gas. And they go, oh, I don't know. Then today they come and one of them spilled the beans. She said, we were at the Galleria. And I said, I know where that is. God ain't there. We come to have camp meeting. We need to get here, amen. Well, I tell you what, some of you say, well, I don't think that's right. Listen, pure religion does interfere with your pleasure. That's by the time you think you got it figured out and you can go have fun, God just says, that's it, son, no more. Amen. I like that, amen. I don't know that, but you know what? It kind of interferes with your plans. Now, a lot of preachers, they're planning and they're, you know, they're priming and they're programming their church, and God ain't nowhere near there. I don't want to do that. Most folks, you know, want a religion that where they can put it on like on Sunday morning, like a coat. And then after church, go back to their closet and hang it up and say, okay, I'll see you next Sunday. Or I'll see you Easter or Christmas or some other special day. But me, why just stay in the closet? Hey, I'm not one for putting my religion in the closet. Amen. Your religion is one that goes and interferes with your plans. Amen. Bible says it was noise that Jesus was in the house. And when he was in the house, neighbor, Bible said everybody put stuff away. Straightway they came to where he was. I want to tell you today, folks, if you got a church we're supporting, and God's there, listen, you ought to be able to just drop anything at the head and just come to the house of God and say, I've come to get filled, Lord. I've come to help the preacher. I've come to, the preacher. I've come to help the preacher. I want to be part of this church. I want something to happen today. You ought to be here. Why is it that we have to be begged, be checked up on, be phoned to come to church? Hey, you didn't ever have to call me. If the preacher that led me to the Lord was alive tonight, he testified to this. I'd be at his house at 1 o'clock. My wife can testify to that. You know what he said? Brother Calvin, I know God called you to preach, but this is ridiculous. Go home. Then next morning, I'll be there at 7 o'clock. Before work, on the way to work. I'll pick up his favorite donut, and I'll go down there, get coffee, and give it to him. And I ask him a few more questions. He said, don't you have to get to work? And I said, yeah. And he said, by the way, he said, how in the world did you get 4 hours of sleep and still make it here again? How in the world are you doing? And I said, I'm young. Young and foolish. It's like hanging around God's man. I don't think I'd be here. I don't think I'd be doing what I'm doing today if it wasn't for the fact that that man tolerated my foolishness, tolerated my willingness to come and listen to some messages that he has or some things. I'll tell you what, it took a lot of interference on my plan. I had to put away some things.
Amen.
That's what it's going to do. Pure religion.
Amen.
And that's all I want to say. Pure religion does include some things, though. It includes some obligations, some responsibility. Amen. You're going to stand before God one day.
Yeah.
You know, David said this, and I like what he said. He said, shall I? He said, shall I make sacrifice of that which doth cost me nothing?
That's
what he said.
Amen.
That's a good question to ponder. Some of you grasshopper Christians need to ponder that a little bit.
Amen.
You don't go to church when you have to hop on somebody's back.
Yeah.
Don't cost you nothing. Oh, we're on a gas share, right? Don't share nothing with me, amen. I don't share nothing with nobody. People come to my church, they say, Brother Kyle, can you share something? I said, no, I don't share nothing.
Amen.
Only time the Bible, the word share shows up is that plowshare.
Yeah, amen.
I might let you have a plowshare. But I'm not going to share nothing with you. Amen.
Amen.
My dad, you know, knew about all them equipment. And when he named it, boy, you better know what it was. You were obligated to know a lot of things, my dad asked us. He just took it for granted that you knew.
Yeah.
I mean, he didn't go around and browbeat you and tell you and beg you and prime you and, you know, candied you and everything to get you to do something. He just said, go and do it. Amen. You know, and when that happened, folks, I realized I had a responsibility. You know what the Bible says? It says they're pure religion. It says to keep yourself unspotted. That's our responsibility. What is it, preacher? That is to keep ourselves clean. Wherewithal shall the young man clean his way? By taking heed thereunto the word.
Amen.
It's your responsibility to keep yourself clean.
Amen.
Hey, preacher can preach, and man, you say, but that's some good preaching. But it won't do you no good if you come and take advantage of it.
Amen.
Come up here in an old-fashioned altar, man, and I'll tell you what. Let God take His hyssop and clean you up.
Amen.
I like one Navajo preacher, you know, he didn't read no English, so he was reading that Psalm 51 where it says hyssop. He said, oh Lord, take your hyssop and wash me. And I said, that'll work, amen. He said, it says here, God will take His soap and wash us.
Amen.
You let God wash you every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, amen, wherever it is. Then you won't have no trouble with all the problems that you have in your home. God take care of it. Hey, we need some cleansing. Hey, clean heart, amen, clean mind. Well, finally, brothers, think on these things. What sort of things are pure? What sort of things are lovely? What sort of things are just? What sort of things are honest? If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things.
Amen.
Not only that, but I'd be concerned. It says to visit. Visit.
Yeah.
Amen. I praise God. My church starting visits.
Amen.
Took me a long time, but I finally got visiting, Brother Charlie. Amen. I say, I won't be here. I just want to see who show up. You know, the Bible says, be true, but yet deceivers, Brother Earl. So I drive down the road, and I tell them I'm not going to be there. And I drive down the road, and I park about a mile from the church and sneak behind them bushes and see who shows up. I said, by golly, they are visiting. Some showing up, going on visitation. Hey, I got some people concerned in the church. Thank God for that. Every church I'd have people that are concerned.
Amen.
Concerned enough to go knock on doors and to visit people that are there that need help.
Amen.
Hey, I got people in my church that are saved because people were concerned for them. I got a woman in my church works at the hospital. She works odd hours, but when her shift is over, you know what she does? She goes back to her car and picks up a bunch of tracks. He said, how do you know? I've seen her. And then she'll go back up to the hospital. And then she'll visit every sick bed in there. And she got caught twice by her boss that, what are you doing here? You need to go home. She said, I haven't finished my job yet. She said, I thought your job was over at this time. She said, no, not for you, for my boss in heaven. Put a bunch of Christians to shame. Man, I'll tell you what, that's a blessing to me, man, just to see that. I mean, listen, she's concerned. And then how about that? And you know what else? It will involve conduct. Include some conduct. The right kind of conduct. Amen. I don't fool around with stuff I used to anymore. I'll tell you what, I thank God for the person of the Holy Spirit living in me. Amen. Amen. I thank God that the Spirit of God still bothers me. Does He bother you? About your conduct? About your attitude? Things in your life ain't right? Hey, the Holy Spirit will be there to help you with that. Amen. We was getting ready for youth camp. And we was trying to figure out all these games. And my daughter-in-law, you know, she had all these games and we was learning them so we'd be familiar with them when we started with the kids, so we wouldn't act like fools out there, you know. So we was getting familiar with them. One of them was we put a rubber band on your nose, the tip of your nose, and you hang underneath your ear, and then you stand up there and go out and try to get that rubber band in your neck. It was hilarious. I was trying to do that, and all the kids want to take a picture of the preacher. Want to see him, put him up there, blow it up, you know, 2x4, and just blow it up, put it on the wall. I told him, so I do that, and I said, I'll not only church you, I will kill you. But you know something? And all that time we're doing this, I'm picking on my wife with these games. And she kept fussing at me. She said, leave me alone. Quit bothering me. And I said, honey, you know I love you. She said, yes. You love me? Yes. You know why we bother each other? Because we love each other.
Amen.
So I love you, and that's why I bother you. I said, the day you need to be worse when I don't bother you no more.
Amen.
Amen. I said, I want to tell you tonight, folks, you said, concerning your conduct, you better thank God that the Spirit of God bothers you.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, get a hold of you. Tell, hey, no, wrong way. Don't do that. Put that away. Put that down.
Yeah.
Amen. Every once in a while, when to go to bed, when to get up. Amen.
Yeah.
See, some of you, you think you're just going to have a good time on your way to glory land. That ain't what it's about. Pure religion has some responsibility.
Yeah.
Are you a responsible Christian? Let's pray. Let's bow our eyes closed.